Hello, friends, and welcome back after our quite extended break to what page are you on? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
Well, we have been gone for a while, and I feel like most of the people that listen to What Page Are You On also follow us in some capacity on social media. We're very grateful if you don't, if you're just a random listener who has no interest in our lives, but we assume that many of you know that the reason we were gone so long is that we got married, not to each other, but separately and within a 2-week time span.
Much like when we both got moved house at the same time.
Exactly.
We like to do things in sync. Yeah. It's just easier for the pod.
Yeah, it is easier for the pod. So we are back. We are better than ever, I guess. And it's Halloween soon. That could have just been my laugh. Press another one.
Okay.
Do the door one. Listeners, loyal listeners, if you have been listening to us for a year, you will know that the door was played in the Halloween episode last year, and I did not know what it was, but I know it's the door now.
And have you ever had that thing, that moment when someone is looking at you, they desperately want to react correctly, like laugh along or share the joke, and they just don't get it?
It me.
That's what Bethany did.
A year ago, but this year I'm on the same page as you. So, Halloween is but 2 days away, and we thought we would come back with a kind of creepy episode about a very wonderful lady close to our literary hearts, Mrs. Shirley Jackson.
We thought, let's be zeitgeisty for once in our fucking lives.
Yeah, let's do something at the right moment. So we're going to be chatting about two, possibly more, of her books.
The life and work of Shirley Jackson. Specifically two books. And maybe a short story.
Yeah, maybe a short story or two. So shall we begin with...
Let's begin at the end with her final novel.
Yes, which is We Have Always Lived in the Castle.
And for some reason, that name has not been sticking in my head today.
Well, neither has the other one, clearly.
I struggle.
So what do you think this one's called?
I always want to call it We Have Always Lived in the Haunted Castle.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know!
Not everything is haunted. Not everything can be haunted.
Everything can be haunted.
This castle is not haunted.
It's haunted with secrets.
Yes. Dark little secrets. And it is a banging book.
So did you read it specifically for this app, or had you read it already?
I had read it already, but as we know, as I say in almost every episode, doesn't matter if I've read a book before, if I'm going to expect to talk about it, I have to read it again in the week leading up to the app. I do not retain information about most books. I read it maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, and this time, instead of rereading it, I listened to it on audiobook.
Ooh.
Because in this house, we believe that listening to audiobooks is reading.
We
are not
do.
The bad lads of the internet who think that there is a difference. We are the good witches. So I listened to the Audible version of it.
Not Spon.
I just love my Audible subscription, which I pay for with my own dollar. And I do feel that listening to a book on audiobook does change the way you perceive it, maybe, or the way that you respond to it. Because the voice of the main character in this audiobook was quite annoying. And I think it maybe made me perceive the character as more annoying than she is written.
I think she is quite annoying.
Okay, good, just checking. Because I was like, am I just being a little bitch?
Well, I mean, I love Mary Cat as a character. But I think she is quite irritating.
Yeah, like, I just hate whimsical shit. I hate, on the moon, blah, blah, blah. Like, that stuff. I just hate, yeah, I have a specific aversion to, like, whimsy.
But Shirley Jackson does have that, like, mid-century whimsical feel to her. Like, she's one of our dark sisters, but...
I don't know. I always see her as, like, a dark little crone.
But I feel like... To skip ahead slightly, but I feel like Eleanor from
The Haunting of Hill House.
Not House on Haunted Hill.
Different thing.
Different thing. Yes. I think Eleanor has that, a very similar voice. Though, like, yeah,
it's true.
Very different characters, but they have quite a similar kind of...
fantastical vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have always lived in a castle. Tell me about it, Alice.
So it is about a young woman called Mary Cat. Mary
Catherine Blackwood.
Yeah. And her sister and her frail uncle, Julian, who live together in somewhat isolation following the death of the rest of the family, for which the older sister, Constance, was blamed, but she was acquitted.
Yep.
Yeah, and the townspeople gossip wildly about them, which I absolutely would too if I lived in that village. Yeah. I'd be all over it. I think that summarises it pretty well.
Agree, and it's just about their kind of strange, isolated life that gets interrupted by the arrival of their cousin. Mm. That's the
exciting incident.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the story. How do you feel about it, Alice?
I absolutely loved it. I read it about a year ago and I loved it. It's really creepy. I love the atmosphere. I love it's like true gothic because it's very creepy, but there is nothing supernatural in it at all. It's all like the, you know, the dark
human
part
darkness.
Dark part of the human psyche. It has some great imagery in it as well. I love arsenic in the sugar bowl is just such a brilliant image. Yeah, 10 out of 10. Top spook.
It is a top spook because, yeah, as you say, it isn't supernatural, which I think, again, is something that we will come back to when we're discussing The Haunting of Hill House.
House on Haunted Hill.
The Haunting of Hill House. I think that's maybe a feature of Shirley Jackson's work is, like, mm-hmm. fear and dread without explicit... It's gothic. It's not horror.
Yeah.
It's the evils of... the banal evil of humanity. This is a great story. It's a very small story told over a very short period of time. But it's a really big, like, wild tale. And I... much like... I can't remember which book it was that we were talking... Maybe it was... The Bell Jar or something like that. But when I was reading it, I was like, when I was listening to it, having read it only a year or so ago, I couldn't remember what happened in it. I couldn't remember. There's so many key details that I was like, oh, cool, that's new. I hadn't retained the plot in my mind at all. And I think maybe that's a sign of a good story where you can't see where it's going from the beginning.
I mean, there's absolutely no way to predict where this book will go.
Mm.
But I'm actually finding the same. I feel like the atmosphere and the characters really stayed with me. I didn't need to, like, refresh my memory on their names, apart from Mary Cat's, like, full name. That all really stayed with me. The actual plot of the book, however, I can't really remember most of it. And it doesn't really matter, I think, like, with a book like this, it's all atmosphere.
Agree. I really liked the town and the townspeople. I thought that was really cool. Yeah, because in a way, you're meant to kind of sympathise with the protagonist of a book. And in this book, as you say, the townspeople are kind of presented in opposition to the family that live in this house. But Mary Catherine is, like, kind of asking for it sometimes.
She's a little troll.
She is a little troll. Yeah. She likes their weird, isolated life, and she, like... I don't know, there's a lot going on. It's not a simple story. It's not as, like, straightforward as I would maybe expect it to be.
I think it does hinge on how different Mary Cat is as a character, because she is a very odd young woman. And I think that's one of the kind of staples of Gothic literature, is the ingenue. You know, like, young, wide-eyed, innocent... And she's none of those things.
True. Yeah.
I mean, she has a naivety to her, but she's not an ingenue.
And she's not innocent. Like, she isn't, like, a good little girl. And then I almost feel like the cousin who comes to visit, like, he's the actual voice of reason. Like, he is the character in the book that you're like, yeah, why do they do all this weird shit? And he's kind of mean to Mary Catherine. But in a way that I was very much like, I'd want to be mean to her too. She's really annoying. Like, she's just winding me. Yeah, she is a little troll. She's a little gothic troll.
But that's why I liked her, you know? I really, really liked her.
Yeah.
For that reason. I think characters like that can really, I don't know, like, affect the way that you feel about Burke. And I think Shirley Jackson's ability to write strange women.
Yeah.
At a time when, you know, like...
Women weren't really allowed to be strange.
Exactly, they were just, not like that. Women.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I think that is very similar to The Haunting of Hill House. And maybe we should, like, start talking about that so that we can more easily chat about both of them in relation to each other. This is a good time to talk about The Haunting of Hill House because it is a Netflix series at the moment.
Have you finished
almost
it?
In name only.
Oh, God. And the bloody characters' names.
Yes, and in names only.
Which I found super confusing, having watched the show over the course of a week and absolutely loved it. I read the book over this last weekend, and at first I found it really confusing that all the characters have the same names, but they are... It is in name only. They are not the same people in any other capacity whatsoever. Not the same personality, not the same relationships, not the same jobs.
There are, though, strange parallels and crossover. The way that they've used mm-hmm. certain things from the book... So, okay, let's take it back. The book Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson, which we are discussing today, is the story of a young woman called Eleanor who, kind of feeling like nothing exciting is happening in her life and never has happened and maybe never will happen, signs up to this weird kind of study, which is of a potentially haunted house, which is run by a doctor called Dr. Montague. The people that end up going to the house to experience the effects of this hauntedness are Eleanor, who's the main character, Theodora, who's another woman, Luke, who is going to one day inherit the house. He's part of the family that owns the house. And Dr. Montague, who is the one that's carrying out the research. And while they're there, weird shit happens. That's the plot. That is not the plot of the Netflix adaptation in any way.
Not even vaguely.
There's about 10,000 other things going on. And I found it really interesting that it is so not an adaptation. It's almost inspired by. I think that's as far as you could really go.
But this is why I feel like they made a really odd choice by naming, giving the characters the same names.
And giving the series the same
because
name.
Otherwise, but I mean, otherwise, you could still have this inspiration. But it could be the family that lived in the house, because obviously in the book, the house is uninhabited. No one lives there anymore. Not because of the hauntings, though. Yeah, I found, like, the connection so tenuous. I don't know why it was there. Especially because the Netflix series is so fucking good. I absolutely loved it. I love horror. I love horror television. And this was just a step beyond anything else I've seen in that genre. It didn't need to ride on the coattails of Shirley Jackson.
Yeah, it is almost bizarre that they didn't just make it a different series and call it, like, Netflix Creepy Halloween series. I don't know, you know, just yeah. anything else. I get why it was released at this time of year. I think it's a great series. It just has nothing really to do... It's not like The Haunting of Hill House is the only haunted house story that exists in the history of the world. You know, it's not like all haunted house stories have to kind of come in that lineage and acknowledge that book.
Exactly.
It was a very strange decision.
Although I did read a thing today that was describing it as like the quintessential haunted house, and I didn't even think it was that.
No, and that's a Stephen King quote.
Oh, is it?
On the back, yeah, on the back of the edition that I have at least. That's the quote that is attributed to a little author you might have heard of called Stephen King. I really did I like the book?
The book.
I really like the book. I really like the book despite the fact it is not what I was expecting.
Same.
Because, again, it is a gothic novel. It is not necessarily a horror. Because I don't feel like there's any evidence of ghosts in that book.
I disagree with that.
Interesting.
I think if only Nell had been experiencing, like, the hand-holding moment.
Oh,
there's a few moments.
Yeah.
If it was only Nell, then I would completely agree with you. But, like, Theo's clothes get destroyed. They all see that. They are all in the room and they all witness that.
Yeah. And it's with, like, blood, which is hard to get hold of if you're a human, you know, without great personal sacrifice.
I feel like if John Travolta's character in Carrie could get hold of blood, it's pretty easy to get a bit of blood.
Yeah, but they never leave
the
house, you know.
Idiot.
Yeah. He's a damn fool and he could get that blood. Okay, so maybe there are some ghosts, but there aren't explicit ghosts in the way that there are in the TV series. I think that's what I was looking for.
Have you seen any of the movies?
No.
Okay, so I've seen both of them, but I don't really remember. It's hazy. I watched them a long, long time ago. In the contemporary movie, like, well, the 90s movie, they're like, it's a study on insomnia, and it's nothing to do with the building being haunted. In the original movie, though, I distinctly remember there is a bent-necked lady ghost.
Interesting.
Like, the you can find GIFs of her on Twitter. Like, she's brilliant. She looks absolutely ridiculous. So I wonder if the kind of haunting of Hill House Ouvre has been included in the Netflix series.
So the series isn't just a straight-up adaptation of the book. It's an adaptation. Oh, it's a continuation of the grand tradition of The Haunting of Hill House.
That's what I wonder. But as I said, I can't really remember either movie particularly well.
Well, I've never seen either of them, so at least we have both recently consumed both the book and the Netflix series. Yeah, what I really liked about the book is something that I like about a lot of media that I enjoy, which is things around, like, death and guilt. I find those very compelling, a very compelling mixture. For example, when I come to do my end of year favorite films list, a film that will definitely be on that is Hereditary, which I know you started watching.
It made us too anxious.
It's a very stressful film. It's a very stressful film, and it's very upsetting. But that is exactly what Hereditary deals with, is like guilt and death in a horror scenario. And I think that's partly why I liked the book, is that it felt like so much of what Eleanor was experiencing was tied to not having prevented her mother's death, which she probably couldn't have done anyway. When she's hearing knocking on the walls in the night, that is almost a direct reproduction of her, you know, she nursed her ailing mother for many years. And then on the night that she died, somehow didn't hear or ignored her knocking on the wall to give her medicine or something. And then her mother died. I like that as, I believe that and I buy that as the origin of someone's experience of horror. I don't know. I can see that that's where a ghost would come from.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And there's some of that in the TV series.
Yeah, I'd say the TV series is also predominantly about death and guilt, manifested in a very different way. And I think that there are a couple of quotes that they lift from the book in and put in the characters' mouths.
Journey's end in lover's meeting.
Mm.
That's one.
I'm
Cup of Stars.
Tiny, Cup of Stars. Didn't like that, though. I'm a tiny creature swallowed whole by this house. Oh, that's a beautiful line from the saddest moment in the entire series. And there was another one as well, like really early on in the book. One about death. I can't remember now. See, it's all left me.
As soon as it came. I massively enjoyed the book and I massively enjoyed the series, despite the fact they're very, very different.
Well, the book doesn't... I don't know if you'd agree with me, but I didn't feel like the book was particularly sentimental.
No.
The TV series is very sentimental. It pulls really hard on your heartstrings.
Agree.
Whereas the book felt a little bit more...
It's quite low stakes. It's not like you really bond with any of the characters and you're like, oh, I don't want anything bad to happen to them.
Which is why I was shocked, no spoilers, but my reaction to the ending is I just didn't really feel anything.
Yeah, agree. Yeah.
God, that makes me sound like such a cold bitch.
No, but I don't know. It's a very appropriate ending to the book and it makes sense in the context of the book. I don't know. I feel like maybe Shirley Jackson isn't someone who writes characters that you... It's not about whether you care about the characters. Mm-hmm. It's about your experience of the story, in my opinion.
Did you find the book scary?
Not really. I don't think so. Maybe I read it in the daylight too often. But I didn't find the book scary. I found it very compelling and I enjoyed reading it a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think I didn't find it scary either. And I think it's because, I mean, we all have different fear funny bones. And obviously fear is subjective. But one of the things I find particularly scary is like physical manifestations. So for me, the image of the bent neck lady in the TV series haunted my memory. It haunted my dreams. I thought about that a lot.
It's and a very disconcerting image.
And I can name like other key ghosts from mostly from film, but also moments in books that have really stayed with me. Like the first time you see the woman in black in the Susan Hill novel. There's a moment when you see a face at a window in Katrina Ward's Raw Blood, which really freaked me out. There wasn't really a moment like that in this book.
There are no physical manifestations in the book. Mm. You don't see a ghost.
Well, really. Quite the opposite. You see the absence of a ghost. And you see grass flattening and grasshoppers
moving reacting, out of the way. Yeah.
And, like, you see the results of a ghost, like the bloody destroyed clothes. The sensation of having a person near you that you can't see.
The hand that she's holding.
But those things, like, none of those things to me were frightening. And maybe the ghosts aren't supposed to be frightening. Like, all of the kind of discussion at the beginning about the house kicks people out and the house is violent and the house is evil. Maybe the spirit that we're actually meeting is Eleanor's mother. And that's not going to be a malicious...
Yeah, it's true.
That's going to be a comforting...
It's just going to be there, and that's... scary in its own right. The only bit that I did find very chilling to read was that just that line, which is like, whose hand was I holding? I think that's a very good moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just creepy. It just is.
Because it's just horrible, isn't it? Like, I can't imagine anything worse than realizing that something I've been anchored to for comfort was the very thing that I'm frightened of.
Or you can no longer trust your perception.
Yeah.
Or like you're in a space that is not what you thought it was. There's a lot of good stuff in the novel. It's just very different to the series. And I think if you went from the series expecting to find a similar amount of ghosts and horror material, you would be disappointed. But also, it's not, the TV series was a lot less horror than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more... I don't know what it is. It's almost like intense family drama with ghosts.
See, describing it like that, I would not switch on.
No.
Yeah.
But it's good. Like, I feel like that is kind of what it does.
I mean, I don't know. So every time I've mentioned the TV series, I've had at least two messages from people saying that they do not find it scary. Which, again, I've already said, like, fear is subjective. You're never going to find the same thing scary as everyone else. But I found it fucking terrifying from the very beginning. And I think that's quite a lot. I found the beginning
much more scary than the end. Like, I think the first few episodes contain more... pure horror, and the longer it goes on, the more it is more a human story, in my opinion.
I think, I guess once you cross episode 5, the bent neck lady's story,
you see everything in a slightly different way.
The kaleidoscope shifts, and I guess with this book, with the book, there isn't a moment like that.
Yeah.
Even though, of course, you do realise that the manifestations are not quite as they seem, it was never scary enough for me to experience that shift.
Yeah.
Although I guess plot-wise it is there.
Yeah. I would really recommend the series. The only stuff I didn't enjoy was there are two people in it whose faces I find very difficult to watch while they're acting. And unfortunately, one was in the flashback stuff and one was in the present day stuff. So I couldn't escape them. I don't think that either Henry Thomas from E.T. or Elizabeth Reeser, who is in... Good Wife and some other stuff, move their mouths enough when they talk.
Who are the characters?
The dad in the flashbacks and Shirley in the present day stuff.
Yes.
Okay. They need to move their faces more.
I have a really important question for you.
Hit me.
Is the actor that plays the dad in the flashbacks the same man who plays the dad in the present day stuff?
I don't think so. They look very different.
See, Alex and I were having this constant argument. Alex was like, God, did he gain weight for the role? And I was like, no, it's a different fucking man. It's a different man.
If only there was a way. there was an internet movie database that we could have looked this up on.
I don't cut this out of the pod because I think that is a multi-million dollar idea there, mate.
The internet movie database.
Let's throw it together.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Don't
take the fucking piss, all right? It's been a long week.
It has been a long old week. I didn't like that. But that's fine, because it's not important. People don't care what actors' faces I find disconcerting.
I care.
The other thing I didn't like, I found the mother character unbelievably annoying.
Interesting.
I just
the get-go or when things started to unravel?
When shit kicks off. Yeah. I found her really... I think Do you ever have, like, lines that reoccur in media, in films and books, that when you hear them, you're just like, I'm annoyed now? Like, a cliche line that crops up a lot.
No, I don't know. What's yours?
I get really annoyed. I know that something is annoying me whenever it contains the line, I'm having the strangest dream. I don't know why. It's just annoying. Like, it infuriates me. And she was very much that character, and she did use that line multiple times.
Yeah.
So she is on my shit list. Everything else I found extremely compelling and occasionally incredibly moving and tragic.
God, I sobbed like a newborn baby in more than one episode.
Yeah, I didn't because I do not cry. But fact, I do not cry.
She's never cried in her life.
I've never cried in my life.
Oddly silent baby.
Yeah, also I don't wee, so I just don't expel.
You don't have much moisture.
Like, exactly.
You get all of your moisture through your skincare.
Yeah, that's why I like hydrating products on my skin so much. Yeah. I take it in, but I will not let it out. Yeah, I thought it was a very moving TV program.
Well, actually, another criticism I have of it is that at the beginning, all the women look exactly the same.
Yeah, and everyone, like, that was a thing that was noticed by everyone.
And I think that they did it on purpose, because I don't know about you, but I didn't realise at the beginning, when you see the whole family in the car, I didn't realise that that was not the mother in the front seat, it's another child. So we thought there were only four kids. Oh, so when we had, like, the cool lesbian and the
funeral director.
I was going to say the death woman. I was like, not that. What are they called? The death lady. We were like, so which one is in the family?
Yeah, yeah. You didn't realise that the mother was not in the car.
Yeah. Confusing.
It is. It's very confusing.
But it's all right. I don't mind having to work a little bit. Also, another amazing moment is the funeral episode with the continuous shots.
Yes.
Did you notice that? I assume you did. You know, the funeral.
Yeah.
It's almost entirely one shot. Until the dad walks down the corridor to go to the bathroom and up to that point, it's all one shot. I think there's one moment when someone passed in front of the camera where they could have got in a sneaky cut. But yeah, I just was amazed by that. That's why, like, the camera's, like, constantly kind of whirling around. And also for horror, like, that opportunity to slide people in. Oh, brilliant.
It's true. Yeah, I think for something that... I feel the same about this as I feel about A Star Is Born, my favourite thing. For something that didn't need to be that good, it was very good, you know? They could have got away with making something much less good, and they didn't.
I know what you're saying. You know? I know what you're saying. The thing is, I think that it's the kind of television that is appealing to non-horror fans.
Mm. You know? I don't watch all horror. Like, I'm not like you. I am not a horror person. I'm a horror person, but, you know, I don't like horror.
She's horrible, but she's not into horror.
Yeah, I will go and see I can count on one hand the horror films that I have seen at the cinema, or, I've been to see Hereditary, It Follows, and The Babadook. End of list.
That's it.
I've never been to cinema to see any other horror.
Seen It Follows, Hereditary, The Babadook.
You know, like, the cool ones?
Yeah, okay, all right.
But I've never seen, like, Final Destination.
The,
like,
uncool ones.
You know, like, the one...
Get the fuck out of my house.
I know, isn't it, man?
How dare you?
So Greek Alex, who is my friend and colleague, wants me to do some kind of Final Destination marathon.
Oh, my, like, God, my dream.
We'll invite you. Let's when it happens. It.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not a consumer of horror. I have to have another reason to be watching. Like, I have to have heard that it is specifically something.
It has to have something more to it.
Just someone has to be like, I know you don't like horror, but this is really good. And it's not even that I don't like horror, it's just that that was never a genre that I really consumed.
See, the way that you feel about horror is the way that I feel about all movies that aren't horror.
Interesting. Like, you have to have a reason to be watching
it. I'm like, tell me why it's good.
Yeah, sell it to me.
Yeah.
although I did watch a film this week, which is a horror film, which has instantly become my favourite film ever.
Shut the front door. What is it?
It's a little film. It's by an Italian director.
I know what it's called.
Suspiria.
Did you know I've never seen Suspiria?
You will love it. Like, on an aesthetic level, you are going to poo yourself. Like, it's so good. It looks so good. It's so fun. It's really scary. It has some amazing looks. I loved it. But yeah, I'm very inexperienced in a lot of horror.
What about horror books?
I don't really... What, tell me some. Name some. Name names.
Well, so I'm actually quite kind of particular about the kind of horror that I read. I don't tend to read as much as I would like because I'm so often turned off if the writing isn't...
Yeah, because you want the book to be good.
Yeah.
You want to be reading a good book. You want to be reading a good book.
Exactly. So, I mean, I've always kind of struggled with Stephen King, but Alex and I, my new husband, we've started... we've started listening to Stephen King's Pet Sematary on Audible. Hashtag not spawn.
Not spawn. When we say not spawn, we're being very serious. Both of us just pay for our subscription.
Yeah. But we started listening to that. And, like, he is... I do not think he is a good writer. He throws in some wild details.
Is there, like, a child orgy in this one? No, that's it.
No, that's it, which I believe no one has ever finished the book, which is why everyone forgets about the orgy. Yeah. But it's there, man, it happens. But then other than that, like, I love Susan Hill's ghost stories. I've read quite a few of the kind of contemporary ghost stories. But other types of horror, horror beyond the ghost... I struggle to find, like, zombie werewolves, vampires, no, vampires is different, but there hasn't been a good vampire book in decades. Fight me.
Let the Right One In's pretty good.
I didn't like the book.
Yeah, do you know what?
I like the book.
I like the book because it gave me the film, which, exactly, as we know, is my fave.
The film bangs hard. The book, I didn't like it.
Too many zombies.
And too much. Yeah. Just too much. And that's, I think, so there is a book that, that I've read recently, a non-fiction book, which I cannot recommend enough if you're in any way interested in any type of horror, called Sleeping with the Lights On by Daryl Jones.
Well, funny you should say that, Alice. I heard that there's going to be an event at Waterstones Gower Street on the...
Tuesday the 30th
of October. So if you're being a very good witch and listening to this podcast on the day of release, you could still go to this event.
It's going to be wicked. I didn't even bring this up for the plug. I just loved the book so much.
If you hadn't brought it up, I was going to bring it up.
Oh, thanks, mate. But yeah, I'm going to be interviewing Daryl about horror, and I cannot wait because he is absolutely fascinating. But he talks about horror basically existing in two spheres. There's the too much and there's the not enough.
We love the not enough.
Exactly. We love the not enough.
I need to read this book.
Oh, mate, you will leave this house with a copy because I have two.
Okay.
I loved it. I think it's a really quick read as well. It's really short. There's like a chapter on every different type of horror you can imagine.
But most importantly, it has a cool cover.
It has a very cool cover. I love it. I stan. But in the chapter about, he calls it torture porn. I prefer the term like the splat pack.
Mm-hmm.
But those, like, saw those really extra violent movies. He just talks about them being too much. And I find that with a lot of horror writing, I don't need to see the extent of the viscera. I want the idea planted in my head.
Yes.
That will do it for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I like writers that can tiptoe around something without just kind of hedging it all out.
Because there's, like, in the book of Let the Right One In, there's like a zombie boner.
Oh,
like,
God.
I don't need that. I literally don't need
just
it.
Just too much.
Whereas
just
the book, much. The film is not enough.
Like, exactly.
It exists in that perfect plane. This is very interesting because the other ghost / haunted house book that I really like, that we actually discussed on the parallel episode to this 1 year ago, is The Little Stranger by Sarah Waters, which I think is a scarier book than Shirley Jackson's The Haunting of Hill House. But the film that we saw, the adaptation of The Little Stranger, was no bueno.
You didn't like it?
It was a film.
It was a film, undeniably.
It had a good cast. It had some nice-looking people in it. But, yeah.
You didn't love it?
Didn't love it. And I thought the way that they messed around with the plot and change the ending was unforgivable.
See, I didn't like the plot of the book very much. I remember being so confused by the end. It just didn't really end for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's left so open-ended. I feel like she's just kind of gone, and that'll do.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like the film ended it too much in a way that didn't make sense. But, you know, I just wanted to talk about that. I wanted to put it on the record.
Bring it up.
Just in case, you know, there's
update
anybody...
Update spreadsheets.
Yeah, anyone wants to chat to me about it, who knows? You got any haunted houses for me?
Let me think. So I've already mentioned Raw Blood. Absolutely love it. Oh, The Loney is one that's been on my radar.
I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
That is pure gothic. it's really unsettling. I love, so this is The Loney by Andrew Michael Hurley.
Yeah.
Andrew Michael Hurley. And it is so atmospheric. It's set in this weird place, I think in Lancashire. It's on like the coast.
Somewhere wet.
Yeah, it's a kind of boggy landscape. It's just one of the most like disconcerting books I've ever read. And when you get to the end, you're not fully, it doesn't answer everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in Foyles or something recently and I saw it on the shelf and I thought, yeah, that really was a great gothic book. I would really recommend that. If you like anything that is even vaguely gothic, I would strongly recommend The Loney.
I would love to know if anyone listening has any other recommendations for ghost stories.
Yeah.
I'm always lacking. Oh, I tell you what was really good. The 8 Ghost Stories anthology that came out last year.
I remember that. Was that done by like English Heritage or something?
Yeah, or maybe the National Trust or someone like that. It was really good, man. The stories banged. It had some really great authors in it. I think Sarah Perry was one. I think Camilla Shamsie. It has a really great list of authors and I think I've read about half of it. It's the kind of, you know, you pick it up, you read one,
yeah,
pop it down. But they're all inspired by different buildings in England or possibly the UK. I can't remember if they stray.
Cool. No, I
into Scotland or Wales.
I will look into it.
Yeah, it bangs.
But in terms of gothic stuff, have you read other Shirley Jackson?
I've read The Lottery. And that band. Yeah, that's a great, I absolutely loved it.
It gave us Hunger Games.
It did.
So for that reason alone, it bangs. I love, so this is going to give me an opportunity to talk about Alice's Wedding.
Oh!
I love the £1 Penguin Modern Classics that they did this year.
Beautiful, like mint coloured covers.
Just like something you buy in Tiffany's. If that's a thing that one does. And those were given as wedding favours at Alice's wedding because she is very cool. And I'm glad that I did not receive the Shirley Jackson one because I've already bought it. And I'd hate to have squandered £1. But whoever got that, who got that? Did you give it to anyone?
Can't remember. Someone would have got it.
They are a lucky person because it costs £1 and it is so good. The Shirley Jackson one has 3 stories in it. And the first one's pretty good. I think it's either got 2 or 3. Basically, the last one I loved.
What was the last one called?
It's about a competition, like a contest with a lady. Have you read the book?
I can't remember if I definitely read the first story, Missing Girl. I read that.
The one on the train.
Yeah.
You read the one on the train.
I can't remember if I read the rest of it or not.
I loved the last story.
I'll give it a read anyway.
Read it again.
Just reread it, why not?
Yeah, and I think there are a few things that you could spend £1 on and get more enjoyment out of. I would love to read more Shirley Jackson. I really want to read The Sundial. I think that might be the next thing I buy. Not that I have any time to read anything that I haven't already decided I'm going to read in the near future. Yeah, Shirley Jackson's The Sundial. And that was what I found really interesting going into a bookshop to buy The Haunting of Hill House was just how many Shirley Jackson books there are. Because it feels like we know We Have Always Lived in the Castle, we know The Haunting of Hill House, we know The Lottery and other stories. But yeah, there were so many that I just didn't know at all. There was that one that I sent you the picture of called like Dark Tales or something. And I thought, yeah, that's what I want. I want Dark Tales. I might go and buy that. I find her a very satisfying person to read. I like being in her world. It Same. Seems like she didn't like being in her world. Like she seemed to be a kind of unhappy person who, you know, was in an unhappy marriage. But I like her output.
Her oeuvre.
Yeah.
I am.
She's someone that I've always been like, I'd like to read more of her stuff. And now that I am thinking about it, this has been a very good push to make me actually go and read more. Because, I'd never read The Haunting of Hill House before this week. And I love anything that makes me read short stories. Because I know that's a thing that you do.
I love them.
Often. And you enjoy a lot. But yeah, I feel like I often don't know where to start. So knowing an author that I really enjoy is a short story person is going to be the thing. But I think, yeah, I'm really looking forward to reading more.
Well, it's been fun.
It has been fun. And I don't need to get you to plug your event, which is going to be tomorrow night by the time this comes out.
Yes.
But just in case, it is Waterstones Gower Street. It is Alice Slater in conversation with Professor Daryl Jones talking about horror. And it's Tuesday the 30th. Of October, so you literally have like one day to hear this and get a ticket. But if you do, you are a good person.
And then say hi to me. I'd love to meet you.
We love meeting people. There's nothing we love more. Go on, smash it.
Oh, I did that one already.
Try another one.
That sounds like a noise Mickey Mouse would make in the spooky Mickey Mouse's Bone Time. It's not called that.
Bone Time. Well, on that note, we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.